Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 6th of June, 2018. I'm Sue.
And I'm Brian.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. As part of the new Talking News format, the weekly news stories will be shorter and more relevant to the local area. But don't forget, you'll feel free to let us know what you think. You will be receiving either yellow or black coloured wallets. Don't be concerned about the change in colour. Everything is continuing in the way it always has. And now Brian will start us off with the news.
A popular Black Country record fair returned to the region once again with another wide selection of vintage vinyl up for grabs. Kiki and Henry's record fair was back at its regular spot in the historic Talbot Hotel in Stourbridge High Street on Saturday, June the 2nd. The vinyl-loving pair were joined as usual by some of their usual trusty traders, as well as a couple of new faces travelling over to make their selling debut and received a warm Black Country welcome. Traders offered a vast array of vinyl records and collectibles to suit all tastes and budgets, whilst music books, CDs and memorabilia were also for sale. The Talbot's Bar was open for thirsty shoppers, while food and snacks were also available. For those who want to sell records, Kiki and Henry can be contacted by email at teamwhippet, that's all one word, teamwhippet@yahoo.co.uk.
Things are truly blossoming for a King Swinford Garden Centre. After celebrating a second gold medal in 3 years at the Royal Horticultural Society Chelsea Flower Show, Ashwood Nurseries won gold for their early spring hellebores just 2 years after a Hepatica exhibit also scooped first place and won a Diamond Jubilee Award too. The success takes the Ashwood Lower Lane Centre's golden tally up to four overall, the two recent wins following previous first place finishes in 1996 for a hydrangea exhibit. This year's triumph was a double success, with the gold medal being accompanied by a President's Award for the favourite exhibit in the Great Pavilion. The double award, combined with Ashwood's offering being a debut for a single exhibit of hellebores at Chelsea, resulted in BBC coverage for the centre. Owner John Massey and hellebore breeder Kevin Belcher masterminded the project with the help of retired Ashwood plant breeder Philip Balk and the rest of the Ashwood team led by Karina Gilbert.
Market traders in Stourbridge learned to set their stall out online when Google's Digital Garage visited the town on Friday, June the 1st. For the first time, the search engine's giant's training was tailored to local market traders, such as those at Stourbridge Market, to help them reach new customers beyond their local area and to grow. The Google Digital Garage was held at King Edward VI College with Stourbridge MP Margot James, Minister for Digital and the Creative Industries, in attendance. The bespoke training courses for Stourbridge's market traders included building a digital marketing plan, how to make their stall more visible online, and social media strategy. Google also brought its Street View cameras to markets not yet mapped so that they can get an online presence that attracts more customers. There was also a range of free workshops and face-to-face coaching for anyone from the local area, with visitors having the option to either book in advance or simply drop by for on-the-spot help. The training ranges from beginner to intermediate levels, and topics covered will include taking first steps online, as well as building a digital CV and personal brand.
Kind-hearted Kinver folk have come together to raise thousands of pounds for a family whose home was destroyed by a midnight inferno. The family of five, named locally as Stuart Jones, Michelle Goodwin and three children, were left homeless by the fire that ripped through their house on Huntsman's Walk on Wednesday, May the 23rd. Two vehicles outside the property were also gutted by the blaze, which took firefighters several hours to extinguish as they worked throughout the night. Luckily, the family escaped uninjured after discovering the fire just before midnight, but it quickly spread throughout the property, gutting the interior and roof before firefighters were able to put it out. Fire investigators have determined that the fire was caused accidentally. Generous locals have leapt to the family's aid, with a variety of fundraising collections helping to purchase clothes and other necessities for them. Terry Beardsmore, owner at Harley's Smokehouse in Dunsley Road, set up a crowdfunding campaign which has rained almost £2,000 for the family, nearly 10 times her original £200 target.
Street Food Affair was back at the Bonded Warehouse in Stourbridge on Friday the 1st of June, and there are more to come in July and August. The free event took place from 4 until 9 p.m. and organiser Sarah New plans to run it once a month during the summer after the success of last year's inaugural series of events. She promises more fantastic street food, bars, music and the Twilight Market at this month's event. Street food traders included Bare Bones Pizza, Grill Brazil, Loco Lobo and many more. Refreshments were provided by the Little Gin Company, Green Duck Brewing Company, Tailor-Made Cocktails and others. Additionally, the Twilight Market featured original artwork, retro and vintage clothing, children's books and freshly baked cakes. Local musicians and songwriters Faye Bagley and Esther Turner provided the entertainment. Each street food affair event supported a local good cause, and June's offering will aid the Duncan Edwards Foundation, a charity recently set up to mark the 60th anniversary of the Munich air disaster. The charity aims to help local children reach for their sporting dreams when finances prove an obstacle, thereby creating a lasting legacy for local hero and Dudley's most famous son, Edwards, who died in the air crash. Visit www.streetfoodaffair.co.uk and Street Food Affair is all one word for more details. Future events are planned on July the 6th, August the 3rd and August the 31st.
Wildlife worries head a long list of concerns that Wollaston residents have over plans to build two new bungalows on undeveloped land. A host of objections have already been submitted against the plans for land to the rear of Meriden Avenue. Residents describe the land as a wildlife haven and say it is home to foxes, badgers, hedgehogs, birds, butterflies, toads and other creatures. Local resident Yvonne Richards said a public meeting held last week showed the extent of the opposition to the scheme. The residents have been supported by Councillor Nick Barlow, who admitted he also had plenty of reservations about the planned build. Councillor Barlow is concerned that the land has been left for a significant number of years and has become a habitat for local wildlife. Some are suggesting there are other bits of land that have been left for many years, which wouldn't cause as many problems development-wise as this one. Visit www.facebook.com/prickly hedge for more information on the residents' protests.
Disabled children need more outdoor facilities in Stourbridge, says the mother who believes her son is being robbed of playtime fun. Rachel Philpott, aged 30, says her disabled two-year-old son Max will have nothing to play on once he becomes too big for the swings at Mary Stevens Park. And while there are plenty of paid-for indoor and outdoor activities for Max and other disabled children, Miss Philpott from Norton believes more free equipment needs to be provided in parks. Rachel, who also has a daughter, Phoebe, said Max absolutely loves the swings at the park, but unfortunately, once he outgrows them, there's nothing he can go on. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, replied, "We very much value giving all children an equal opportunity to play, regardless of ability. Whenever we have the opportunity to renew play equipment in our parks, we are making sure that we consider the needs of all our residents."
A relief road through the Black Country linking the M5 and M6 is among recommendations being made to ease traffic congestion in the Midlands. A 20-year plan has been unveiled by Pan-Regional Transport Partnership Midlands Connect. Its report suggests building a western strategic route linking the two motorways, as well as widening parts of the M42. 10 options, including long and short-term plans, have been put forward. The report said the western strategic route could shift around 20% of traffic travelling through the region from the M6 in the north and M5 in the south away from the motorways. Improving connections between Dudley, Stourbridge and Wolverhampton could have a transformational impact on the economic performance of the Black Country. An exact route has not been identified, but Birmingham Friends of the Earth described it as a revival of the Western Orbital Motorway, which was proposed in a similar location but scrapped in the 90s. The report has been compiled with Highways England, which said a long-term vision was needed. Network Planning Director Jeremy Bloom said, "Clearly this won't happen overnight, but this report provides us with a foundation to plan improvements over the next two decades."
A pub flattened almost 20 years ago is set to be reborn in the Black Country. Popular among Irish immigrants and post-war citizens from India, Pakistan and the Caribbean, the Elephant and Castle was once a boozer booming with banter. Built in 1905, the Grand Edwardian Watering Hole made quite a magnificent landmark for those coming into Wolverhampton. In 1910, it became part of the Banks's estate, who were rapidly becoming one of the largest breweries in the Midlands. Typical of its era, it had a public bar for the working class, and for the middle class, it had a separate smoking room with slightly higher prices. It stood on the corner of Stafford Street and Cannock Road until it was unexpectedly demolished in 2001, shortly before it could be considered for listing. Now, though, 17 years on, the Black Country Living Museum in Dudley is calling out for memories prior to 1969 as part of its ambitious new £23 million project. Known as Forging Ahead, the popular visitor attraction is hoping to expand by a third by 2022, with plans including transforming the site with a major new historic development focused on the period between the 1940s and the 1960s.
And with that final news item from Brian, we will now make way for this week's notices. So it is goodbye from Sue.
And it's goodbye from Brian.
Goodbye, everybody.